Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Matthew Risch, who is the star of A Chorus Line at Signature Theater now through January 5th. Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Thank you for talking to me.
Awesome. Before we dive in, you and I know and love A Chorus Line, but maybe someone listening to this has never seen it, somehow living under a rock, never heard of it. What's it about?
Well, it takes place in 1975. It's an audition in a Broadway theater, and it is the process of casting a new Broadway show, and sort of is all about the sacrifice and the stakes and everything it takes to get into a Broadway show, and sort of the sacrifices that artists make for their art, and sometimes it can be at a high cost.
Absolutely. And that's, we've seen sort of that theme, trickle down through the generations over and over again, it's similar, 42nd Street. Mm-hmm. The whole auditioning process, and you're going to come back a star. That whole thing has gone, on and on and on in theater. But why do you think that's just so, such a timeless thing that different shows keep revisiting over the years? Is it because, theater folks like watching, a self-reflection process of the whole thing, or why do you think that still resonates?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's a mixed bag of things, but I think especially with A Chorus Line, what is so fantastic and how it was created is, Michael Bennett and a bunch of his friends who were dancers and artists got together and they sort of pressed record on a tape recorder and started talking about the business and what it's like to be in this business. And very quickly, everyone found that they just started diving deep into their childhoods and their psychological history and their emotional baggage and how it all sort of ties together. And I think that's what's so great about the show and shows that are about show business is they're sort of like a nice window into a universal feeling of trauma and stories from the past that everyone can relate to. And I think that's what, especially A Chorus Line is so, why it's so fantastic. I think, with other shows like 42nd Street and all those other shows too, I mean, I think people just love to sort of, it takes a special person to be a performer, to be an actor. I think we're living in a world that's obsessed with celebrity. And I think most people are sort of fascinated by how the other half lives. And I think it's really sort of fascinating to see the process, the behind the curtain, if you will, of what it takes to put on a show.
Absolutely. All right. So you play the role of Zach, so you're the director who's auditioning all the dancers in the show.
Yes.
And I know traditionally, in Broadway and everything else, it's usually Zach is this like booming voice from the back of the theater, calling out things to the stage, but you don't really see him. But talk about how your production's different, how, let's just say if audiences come there, they definitely are going to know you're there.
Yes, they will. And they may be seated right next to me, which I hope they are, and unwrap their candies quietly. No, I'm just kidding. I think with The Chorus Line, it's always been sort of this booming voice, like you said, from the back of the house, which can be very intimidating and is, I think, very important for the role in the piece, especially. But what's so great about Signature and the theater is the intimacy. And the show itself is so intimate. And I think what's so great is that when you do audition, I mean, no one really auditions in Broadway theaters anymore. That's sort of a thing of the past. But even when they would, the director would be in the audience at his table under his little work light, and he would be on the God mic, as it's called, and would sort of talk to you through the speaker system in the theater, and you would sort of just hear his booming voice. So it's sort of nice to have this intimate space where you can sort of tease out that idea of being, a little bit more intimate with the director while still sort of maintaining this authority over the cast. And I think that's been sort of the fun challenge of this is, how do we keep this tension alive while he's sitting feet away from these performers? But I also think, and I can't really speak on behalf of the rest of the cast, but I think it sort of is fun for them and is a little different for them to be able to sort of, look me in the eyes and tell me their stories. And I think it creates much more of a close connection and intimacy that therefore will translate to the audience connecting more to the characters on stage.
That's awesome. I actually think that's a cool up, and I read that that's how you guys were doing that. I thought that was I got a little smile. I was like, that's kind of a cool update.
Great. You know, Coors Line is so specific in how it is, and it's sort of always been done one way. And, you know, there is only so much you can do with it. I mean, it's kind of a perfect piece of theater in so many ways. You know, it's Pulitzer Prize winning and all that, obviously. But so there's only so much you can do with it because it was built in such a specific structure, and even the lyrics are reflected to sort of reflect how the are written to reflect how the dance steps are supposed to go and all that stuff. And I think what Matt and the team has done here so well is they've pushed it as far as it can be pushed in such a very smart and clever way to sort of give it new life, which I think it deserves and I think it needs.
For sure. Remind our listeners, because it is a musical, to remind our listeners some of the famous musical numbers. I'm sure a lot of people will remember a lot of them.
Yeah, I think What I Did for Love is probably a huge one. I feel like that was like one of the bigger hits. It's Marvin Hamlisch who did the music, who obviously has done a bunch of movie scores. And I think this is
rest in peace, Marvin Hamlisch, man. What a genius.
I know, absolutely.
And, yeah, what did he do in the movie? He did like, I think he did The Way We Were with Streisand. I think he did The Spy Who Loved Me, I think. He's done so many.
Yeah, he did so many. And I mean, as you said, what a genius. What I Did for Love, obviously won. This is the, you know, one singular sensation that everyone knows. What is the other one? Let's see. There's nothing. It was so funny. Last night at the performance, there was a woman sitting next to me, and it was clear that she had loved the show, and it looked like she had done it. I saw her little hand sort of conducting quietly to herself. I don't know if she was a music person or not, but she just, every time a song came on, she would get so into it. So it was fun to sort of gauge. It's fun to sit in the audience and see the people around you and sort of gauge how well they know it. But, I mean, there's a song that's called The Montage, which is Hello, Hello 12, Hello 13, Hello Love, that people seem to know. And, I mean, God, there's so many great songs.
Absolutely. At the Ballet, Music in the Mirror.
At the Ballet, Music
Love.
In the Mirror. Yeah. All of them. I mean, they're all so beautiful.
I think there's certain ones that, and that's to me, when you know something's a classic musical, when you said one a singular sensation, I just wanted to bust out singing it. Like, everybody's going to know. Talk about sort of those are the songs, but talk about sort of the musicology, or let's say more of like the side of it, the choreography. Because we got a little ballet, we got a little tap, we got a little jazz, you know. Pull back the curtain a little on the swing of the dance here.
On the what? I'm sorry.
The kind of dance, the kind of choreography we have. We got ballet, we got tap.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's just famously such a wonderful dance show. And I think, you know, what Michael Bennett had created, it was sort of just, you know, his specific language of jazz, which is just so beautiful. And you know, at the time he was making, you know, and that Music in the Mirror that you brought up, creating that dance for his then, you know, sort of, they had a romance budding with Donna McKechnie, and he sort of was making these dances for her body. So this dance that was built specifically for her in the original choreography became iconic. And all these moves that he, you know, and with the opening number and all these dance steps that anyone who's, and in musical theater for more than 5 years has at least attempted to do in some dance class or audition here or there. And again, what's so fabulous about this production is, you know, we have Dennis Jones, who's such an amazing, amazing choreographer. And he's done the show before and he's done the original choreography. So he has that in his vocabulary and he's been able to take all of that and adapt it to make it his own and put it on the bodies of our cast, you know, which is wonderful. So he sort of gets to do, in a way, what Michael did and sort of fit moves on us and what looks good on us and be able to adapt it and update it. But it really is such a great catalog of all types of dance and mostly just energetic jazz. And, you know, I mean, when you sort of put it with that opening number in that opening combination, it's just thrilling to watch and listen to.
For sure. And I know when this thing opened on Broadway back in 75, I'm pretty sure it became the longest running production in Broadway history for a while. I think, you know, other shows like maybe like Cats or Chicago or some other stuff that might have broken that record since. But that's a big accomplishment that it was the champ there for a long time there. Why do you think that is? I mean, you have to have a certain not only watchability but a rewatchability to be a longest running show. You know, you get the buzz but to be able to break that record, it's got to be a show that, you know, you can't just be happy seeing once. It's one of those like Phantom, you want to keep coming back and seeing over and over.
Right.
Like what about the show do you think makes it that, you know, that you know, once isn't enough?
Well, listen, if I knew the true secret to that, I would be writing musicals and not performing them. But I think, you know, it was just one of those special things that came about in the time when musicals were crashing on Broadway and Broadway attendance was at an all-time low. And Michael and his friends wanted to create something new and exciting. And they were like, you know, no one's ever talked about the lives of us and what we go through. And, you know, when they got together and made those tapes and everyone started talking about their lives and, you know, all these beautiful, wonderful, heart-touching stories were brought out and people were crying and laughing and how universal that is. When you sort of are able to meld those two things together with the simplicity and the design of the show combined with the music, combined with that choreography, I mean, it was just a perfect storm of things that at that time just became instantly iconic and insanely watchable, and people wanted to come and watch over and over again. And you really do see new things every time you do it. I mean, I'm one of the few people in the show who's done it many times. I mean, a lot of us have done A Chorus Line a bunch being in musical theater, and this is my third time in my life doing the show, and I see something new every day still doing it. I mean, it's just one of those shows that has so many layers that you can watch over and over again and just go deeper and deeper with these characters and their relationships to each other and the nuance of it all. And it's just so exquisitely written that it's one of those things that, you know, you can just watch over and over again and never get tired of.
For sure. Tell me visually, what the audience sees visually when we show up at Signature, what are we actually seeing on stage in terms of costumes or set design or you know, backdrops, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't want to get too much away.
Paint me a picture, because, you know, this is the challenge of radio. Paint me a picture. You know what I mean? Like, just to describe what we see.
Well, I don't want to give too much away. I want people to be able to, you know, come and get a ticket and see it for themselves, because that's, you know, half of the exciting part. But I will say that it is a chorus line that has never been done before, or a chorus line that certainly I have never seen done before. And, you know, you're not just going to see a black empty stage with a spotlight, although there are moments of smallness like that in the show that create exquisite beauty. But, you know, we have added some things to it. And Jason Sherwood, who's a wonderful set designer, has graced us with his talent and has created some really interesting new concepts and ideas that I think work really well with the show. And, you know, I think people are going to come. And what's so great about A Chorus Line is that, you know, you have all these bodies on stage, and it's one of those shows, and there aren't many nowadays, where, you know, the bodies are telling the story as opposed to, you know, helicopters that fly in or cars that drive on stage or chandeliers that drop from the ceiling. It really gets back to the basics of human beings on stage telling a story, and any sort of set or lighting design that supports that is exquisite and beautiful. But really it's about the human body on stage telling a story.
Cool. Tell our listeners a little bit more about you. I don't recognize you from, you know, they probably seen you in Modern Family, How to Get Away with Murder, maybe even on Broadway, Pal Joey. But remind us, you know, how did this whole journey begin with for you? You know, where'd you grow up, and how did you, you know, get that, your spark? Was it like a, you know, high school show, or what was it?
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I went to a performing arts high school called Walnut Hill School, which is in Natick, Mass, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful school. I had done community theater growing up. My mother knew I had a big personality, and she, I'm sure, wanted to get me to have me have an outlet for that. So she suggested I audition for community theater, which I did, and I loved, and I sort of never stopped until I went to high school. And the first show I did was A Chorus Line in high school, and I got cast as Paul. And sure, I was 15 years old, but, you know, it was sort of, the training there is so intense and so wonderful. It's almost like a conservatory training program for high schoolers. And it was sort of my first deep dive into any real work as an actor and sort of understanding the craft of it all and dissecting a text and getting into the history of the show and these characters. So that was sort of my first real, you know, inlet into playing a real role on stage was with the show. So it's sort of a serendipitous experience that I'm back here now playing the guy in charge, which is really, really fun and seeing at it from a whole new angle. But yeah, I grew up in North Boston, went to college in Cincinnati for Cincinnati Conservatory, moved to New York, started in Chicago on Broadway, and then I moved up to Legally Blonde, and then I did Pal Joey, which is great. Went to LA for a few years, much like Cassie in the show, did some TV work, and now I'm back and getting back on stage and loving it. And I couldn't be more happy to be doing it with this show, with this theater. It's just been a fantastic experience, and we've created something really special that I hope people come check out.
Awesome. Well, that's a great little full circle thing. That's wild that your very first show back then was a Chorus Line. So
yeah, it is. I know.
Closes some sort of loop here for it. So that's awesome. Yeah. Just sort of in closing, you've been generous with your time, but in closing, you know, I mean, you listed all the different theaters and cities you've worked in, but what makes Signature so special, and then also doing it in that intimate Max Theater there for audiences, you know, what about the team at Signature just really stands out to you?
Well, everyone here is just so smart. Everyone here is so supportive and loving and wonderful, but everyone here is just smart about the craft and theater, and they just have always put on wonderful productions, and they are able to do it in this wonderful, intimate space, and they just get the best talent around, and it's just always a wonderful experience. This is my second time working here, and I love it here. I love it down here. I love the people. I love the audiences. It's been top notch from day one, and I think people are going to come and get an extremely high caliber performance and see a show they think they know so well and see it a new light shined on it, if you will.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time, Matthew, and we invite listeners, everyone, to go check it out, A Chorus Line, now at Signature Theater. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.